But tonight, if you'll let me, it seems like the Lord's going to take me to Acts chapter number 9 tonight. And I do hope to be a blessing. I would ask that you would pray for us. I often think about the Lord looking onto the crowds, looking into the people's eyes and seeing them, and he had compassion. I don't know why the Lord does these things with an individual, why he will make someone love people and want to see people saved. I don't know, but when I go to these foreign countries, and the Lord's allowed me to be in 34 of them at least, I guess, and probably more if you counted sitting on an airport runway waiting to go to the next country. But when I go down to the towns and I see the people, and especially like Sierra Leone, a Muslim country, I was in China and I saw those atheistic people, and it's like, I feel like I can't do anything, but I can pray. I get I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of a little email that you can sign up for. It's called the Joshua Project. Are you familiar with the Joshua Project? Every morning, spot on, every morning, I'll get an email from the Joshua Project, and it'll have a people group. And it'll tell all about these different people, where they derived from. It'll say what language they speak. It'll say how many of them. It'll also then say that less than 2% of these people are reached. And that'll give you a little prayer suggestion for them. I always go back up to the picture and I look into the eyes of whoever they snapped and used that picture of. And I say, Lord, save this one. If you'll save this one, then send them to their family and send them to their country. Sign up for the Joshua Project and just pray. It doesn't cost a thing. It's just a prayer list that somebody put together because they looked into the world and saw it with compassion. Amen? But tonight I want to do just a little character study on a young lady by the name of Dorcas. If you found your place in Acts chapter number 9, if you'd stand with me tonight, we'll just honor the Word of God and do pray for me. The young fellow that stood up to pray tonight for the offering, he helped me. One simple phrase. Help me pray. Did y'all hear that? We need each other. My soul. We need each other. Acts chapter number 9, starting in verse number 36. The Word of God, and I'm thankful for it, says, Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 12 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. I believe it's about they said it was about a 12-hour trip or somewhere along those lines to Joppa. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Father, tonight, what a great testimony, Lord, of prayer. What a great testimony of the Apostle Peter just being obedient. But tonight, Lord, I ask that you'd please allow me to get some of the thoughts across that you've given me in my study. If there is someone under the sound of my preaching tonight that may not be saved, church members all over this country, all over the world, sit in churches thinking that they're okay with God because they're in church or they're a good person. Lord, without Jesus, there's nothing. So, Father, I pray tonight that you'd help. Thank you for my Savior, and we ask you these things in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. First thing we know for sure is Miss Dorcas, or Tabitha, she was a Christian. Amen? She was no doubt a Christian. Her testimony in the community radiated her love for Christ. You know, that's one thing you and I can have. We may not have a whole lot of things, but we have a testimony. One good friend of mine said, people may not ever remember what you've done for them or what you've done to them, but they will remember how you make them feel. They'll always remember how you make them feel. I say strive to make people feel like Jesus was present when you were there. Amen. Strive to make people feel like, man, there's something different about that fellow, and I wonder what it is. I remember one time coming home on an airplane, and I just slap wore out. We go on these mission trips, and they just wear you out. And I thought, all I want to do is read my little book. I just want to sit here. I don't want to talk to anybody, Lord, please. And I just sat there, and there was a nice lady sitting off to the side. And as the plane was landing, I reached into my pocket and said, ma'am, can I give you a little gospel tract, something to read today? She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I just knew it. There's just something about folks that love the Lord and are kind and compassionate that want to do things for the Lord. People know it. Amen? And they want to be around you. They want to. I believe that this lady was this lady disciple, if you will, was one of these people that rang true with Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, because she wasn't ashamed of the gospel. She knew that it was the power of God unto salvation to every single one, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. She knew it. And she wanted to make sure that her life radiated, just wanted to do something. The source of this desire to serve others is what Paul called in the book of James, pure religion and undefiled religion before the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I love your testimony about Miss Marge and getting up to go deer hunt. It takes a lot to get a deer hunter out of his stand, amen. But instead of going deer hunting, the Lord said, I want you to go visit Miss Marge and her husband. And because of the obedience, it just went. I wonder in my mind, what Peter was thinking. Well, the woman's dead. What do you want me to do? But no, Peter just, man, got up and made that trek, that long walk, just to come. It was just to come to a funeral. But Peter did it. I got a friend that's a businessman that owns a salvage yard. And brother, he was just like, he was in his tree stand when the Holy Ghost of God said, get down and go talk to this person. And he's like, what could I do? I got down and I went, and he ended up leading this guy to the Lord. When the Holy Ghost gets on you, you're better off just to do it. Amen. I could have crawled in that room last night, Brother David, but the Lord wouldn't let me alone. He said, go visit him. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I got to meet your precious wife and to hear about your son, where I can pray for him now too. And just to reunite like heaven's going to be. Man, these volunteers, these people that we were in prison with together, the inmates that we were with. I just got a text. I send out little verses every once in a while, you know, I'll send out a lot of devotions. You sign up and get my devotions on the email. That's what kept us connected all these years, me and Brother David. And I got one just the other day, and it was from an inmate at the workhouse. I go to the workhouse there in Murfreesboro on Thursday nights. And he just wanted to thank me. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like, Brother Rick? How many of them old boys are going to come up and say, man, hug our necks for all eternity? It's just going to be fabulous. She believed it was pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. Amen? In the book, The Women of the Bible, Herbert Lockyer, well, there's been some smart men that's gone on before us. These guys would write, and they didn't even have the internet. Today I can click on a button and find out how many times one word is used throughout the King James Bible. I can find out how many times it's used in a particular chapter, or I can find out how many times it's used in the New Testament, or I can even do a Google search and make sure that my outline is theologically correct. Those guys didn't have that. Those guys had the Word of God. And I believe in tools. I believe in working and using tools properly. I remember back when I used to nail shingles. How many have ever nailed a roof on with shingles or with a hammer? Amen? Joggling them nails and being able to have a handful of nails and go like this and bam, bam, bam. And then I got a nail gun. I said hallelujah right there for a nail gun. I mean, I was against them things for a while because they put the little staples in. And I don't know how many roofs I tore off, and those roofs would just fly out. Them staples were horrible. But man, these nail guns put a nail in just like I was hammering. I said, come on, boys, let's time this thing. I had one guy that was flinging the shingle, one guy that was setting the one end, and I'd set the other end and go, bam, 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 bam. We put a square of shingles on in just under 7 minutes. I mean, we was flying. I'm glad we got tools. They help us. They help us. Herbert Lockyer said this, when Luke says that Dorcas was full of good works, he meant the word full to refer primarily to her inward grace, which prompted her outward deeds. What comes, what's down deep inside will come out, good or bad. It just will. Especially in a time of urgency of some sort. If there's good on the inside, it's going to pop out. If there's anger and bitterness on the inside, it's going to come out just the same. Well, it's best to put the good in and keep the good in and stir the good up all the time. Amen. Because it's going to come out. Too many, he said this, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. How significant these last three words. Too many well-meaning people sit around and talk about charitable works they never do. He continued saying, sometimes they propose these works and leave others to execute them. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to just move right on. But the Apostle Paul gets... I know that that same fellow that told me that people will remember how you make them feel said this. He said 90% of the people, or 10% of the people in the church do 90% of the work, and the other 10% tell them what to do, or other 90% tell them what to do. Amen. Anyhow, I got that all messed up. But you know what I'm saying. I think that Paul gives us this passage, and she fits right in. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And she did them. But the results of that particular verse is, and the God of peace shall be with you. Tabitha, hey listen, Tabitha got recorded in the Bible. God took that one woman out of all those disciples in Joppa, and he said, I'm going to write this woman's testimony. Anyhow, she was not only full of good works, but also these alms deeds. You study that word out, it really means acts of charity, mercy, particularly those involving the giving of money, food, and other assistance to the poor and the needy. I know one thing, what you leave here on this earth after you pass will just be gone and spread between a whole bunch of folks, and all you've done is just here. Boy, if you put it to work for God, you'll get it back up there 100-fold. Amen? You certainly will. Well, this is a wonderful description of this lady. I believe that the Holy Spirit helped us to understand how others viewed her. And that's really important because others are viewing you, they're watching you, and they're going to maybe possibly come to church because of you, or maybe not come to church. But Dorcas was a woman well known in her community for her generosity and her ability to sacrifice. Herbert Lockyer would go on to allude to the fact that her good works flowed from a grateful heart and an understanding that God had entrusted her with the ability to use her blessings to help others in need. I think if we'll go back to the Old Testament when God was talking to Moses and Moses was given all of his reasons why he couldn't do what God called him to do. God said, hey Moses, what's that in your hand? And he said, well, it's a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So all he had was that staff. And boy, God turned that staff into a snake, and you know the story, and he picked that thing up. Well, I think when the Lord said, hey Dorcas, Tabitha, what's that in your hand? She said, well, it's just a needle and thread. Well, I can use that. And that's exactly what he did. He just used a needle and thread, amen? Sometimes there's ladies that make these little crochet, these little crosses, or crochet these little things. Remember what they would do? You remember those, what were they called? The Elms ladies? The Elms ladies. Million of them, I believe. Over a million little handkerchiefs. And stamped on there said, Jesus loves you. Woo! I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. How many of them boys up there are waving their white hanky that said, Jesus loves you. I said, what's that in your hand? That's just a rubber stamp that said, Jesus loves you, and a sewing machine. Man, hallelujah. It's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Hallelujah. But probably tonight, and I'm going to try and I'm going to try and help you a little bit this evening if you give me a couple more minutes. One of the most common questions about God's love is, why do bad things happen to good people? How many of you, be honest with me tonight, you've wondered that? Or maybe even, why do good things happen to bad people? I mean, it's just out there. In verse number 9 or 37, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her hand in the upper chamber. Miss Marge, I'm not picking on you tonight, but if your husband hadn't gotten sick, your friend wouldn't have asked this preacher here to pray. And from what I understand, if he wouldn't have been praying, the Holy Spirit probably wouldn't have said, you need to go visit him. We can thank God that your husband got sick. Amen. And her little old hand goes up like this with a smile on her face. Amen. Dorcas died while actively serving. And we know that she had her appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to die. That's why eternity, that word eternity. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Ask people, where will you spend eternity? Eternity, eternity. That word is throughout our Bible. Amen. It's used. Get people thinking about it. When we look at the Apostle Paul, who God used to write over half of the New Testament of the Bible, we can see, number one, he faced a major, major physical issue. I personally believe, and your preacher, he may or may not, but I believe that thorn in his flesh that he prayed for in 1 Corinthians was his eyesight. You can find different places that will allude to that fact, but Paul would only pray, this always intrigued me, three times. Then he stopped praying for his problem. Boy, we'll just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and keep praying. And honestly, I know there's different thoughts on that, that we should just keep continuing to pray and pray and pray. But I wondered, this man of God that was so close to Jesus, that met with Jesus and studied at his feet, prayed three times that the Lord would take that infirmity away. And the Bible said, and he answered unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's answer is what gave him the power to be the man that would be used to pen down over half the New Testament of the Bible. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. But if you just ride with me for a little bit, I want to help you tonight. He says, in infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses, for Christ's sake, for I am weak, then I'm strong. I believe it was this answer that Paul received from the Lord that inspired the Holy Ghost, that can change, inspired by the Holy Ghost, that can change our outlook on any pain and suffering that we go through. And I can tell you tonight, by a personal experience, what the Lord's done with me through this thing. It's just absolutely phenomenal. Okay, I'm going to move down. We know that Paul suffered so many different things, and then they took him to the executioner and cut his head off, right? But it was the Apostle Paul that would write in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are all the called according to his purpose. We know it was the Apostle Paul that wrote that. His purpose, Paul's purpose, was eternal. Excuse me. I want you to see now with me a key to unlock all of this. I'd like you to go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through 13 tonight. So again, this is the Apostle Paul. While he's in prison, I might add, he would say this, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from beginning of the world hath been hid in God. That's the one thing about heaven that's going to be exciting, is all these mysteries are going to be just revealed. We're going to have some serious aha moments up there, amen? But then he says this. He said, and to make men see the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Boy, the Muslims don't like to read Colossians chapter number 1 and verses like this and John chapter 1 where we read that Jesus is the creator of this world. Amen. I could get hung up there for a long time, but I'm going to push on. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Listen to verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ had an eternal purpose, and we all know that. We know that Jesus Christ looked down from glory and said, the only hope for all of these poor souls is if I go down there and live a perfect, sinless, perfect life and die to pay for those sins. And he said, I'll do that. So his purpose was to come and robe himself in a human flesh and to live for 33 and a half years, sinless years, not even one thought of sin. And he had the perfect inside a mindset and compassion and love for all mankind, even his enemies. He taught us to love them and to pray for them. When's the last time you prayed for that rascal, that low-down hound that hurt you? We pray on him instead of praying for him. Jesus had an eternal purpose. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Is that correct? Why do you think they called him a Christian in Antioch? They acted like Jesus. They were doing the things that Jesus taught them. They were students of the Sermon on the Mount. I could just envision some of these people thinking, love your enemies. That's what Jesus told us to do. Can you imagine some of those disciples possibly carrying a Roman soldier's backpack for 2 miles instead of one? Well, you're done. That's it. Your commitment's over. He said, no, I'm going to go ahead and help you out and take it the rest of the way. What's wrong with you, Jew? Well, that's just what we're supposed to do to show you the love of Christ, to let you know that you could go to heaven too. Amen. I'll bet you some of those fellas led a Roman soldier to Christ. Wouldn't that be something to meet that soldier? But not all the Roman soldiers, I don't believe they were all mean and hateful. I believe some of them had a good heart. What do you think? Amen. I believe it's possible. I think what the Apostle Paul's saying, don't faint, fight. Fight for the glory of God, amen, and for the good of the sinner. Because Jesus had an eternal purpose, and we're Christians, we have an eternal purpose. Do you know yours? What's your eternal purpose? Have you ever thought about it? When you pray tonight, ask God to show you how you are supposed to affect eternity. Oh, please pray it. It may scare you to pray it, but pray it. And then if God tells you to go do something instead of deer hunting, I'd do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'd do it in a New York second. Well, I know some people have been given just unbearable trials. I think of that Joni Erica Estada at 17 years old. That girl had a diving accident, left her paralyzed from the shoulders down. But you know what the rest of her life she did? She just went on praising God and leading people to the Lord. Amen. And her legacy will live on. Instead of being in a wheelchair somewhere and all bound up and being mad and hateful and bitter, that woman used her eternal purpose for the glory of God. I think of my dear wife, my precious Paula. Amen. We've been married 42 years. Brother Rick, I've always waited until I got married. And been married for 42 years. You want to know why? Because I remember Brother Ron Garris. He said, I see that dirty look, lady. You don't even make me nervous. He'd say, I've been married 42 years. I've seen every dirty look in the book. Amen. Brother Ron was truly one of my heroes. But ever since my beautiful bride had Joshua, my son, my wife's name's Paula, she developed these headaches, and every day of her life for the last 37 years, my wife suffers with just horrible headaches. It's not will she have a headache? It's yes, she has a headache. I prayed, I even fasted 40 days for my wife, and it was like the Lord said no, and I said, okay, Lord, we'll just press right on. Thank you. And move forward. I still, I'm not quite as good as the Apostle Paul, that's for sure. I'll still pray, Lord, please give her a little bit of relief today or the grace to help her through it. But it just seems like Paul is constantly going through something. We had last August, she went to a, of course, well, maybe some of you don't know. I don't see too many. There are some little children. When she was 15, she was abducted. A man took her out in the country, did some very bad things to her, and then put a knife into her throat to leave her to die alongside the road. A lost Catholic girl. And I would come along and see the scars, and we'd talk, and I'd ask her the simple question, if you would have died, you know where you'd be? And she said, no. What's your church teach you? Well, she said, well, if I'm not good enough, I go to this resting place, but if I'm not bad enough, and she gave me all this crazy religious malarkey, if I could use that word. And I said, well, I don't know about all that stuff, but I know a Savior named Jesus that said, if you believe in Him and ask Him to be your Savior, He'll come in. And all of those different things that goes along with that type of trauma, it's tough. We can forgive the person and we can pray that they were saved, and we did, and I believe he did get saved. I believe all of those, but there, you still live with the after effects, that the PTSD is, as many of our veterans still suffer from. We know that. Back in August of last year, Paul had a gallbladder attack. Next thing you know, one of them stones got caught up in that common duct, and she ended up with severe pancreatitis. Oh, it was horrible. Severe pain. Severe pain. That in February of just this year, back surgery, and it isn't working. It isn't working completely. May 31st rolls along. Pancreatitis. Four times since May 31st, she's been in the hospital with pancreatitis. Each one of those hospital visits, God had an eternal purpose for. The first one I was there, I had a stack of my eternity books. I take them everywhere I go. I gave them to everybody. I bought coffee for the nurses. We'd give out these eternity books to doctors and nurses. One young man on the outside, I was giving him a book. He said, no, I don't want that thing. I said, come on, sir. I said, please. I said, I wrote this little book. I said, it's just got a lot of Bible. It'll show you what Jesus says it takes to go to heaven. Not what I think, not what your religious leader thinks, but just what God says. He said, you wrote it? I said, I did, sir. He said, I'll take it and read it. I believe that's why she had the gallbladder attack there. We would go to the back surgery, and Dr. Eli and I'm in there, and she gets done with all the doctor and stuff. I said, now, doc, I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He says, well, no, sir. I said, well, I got a book I'd like you to read. And Dr. Eli, we've been praying for Dr. Eli. Miss Margie, pray for Dr. Eli. Maybe who can tell what God will do? We just went back for our second visit, and guess what? I said, doc, did you read my book? He said, I did. I said, well, what'd you think? He said, it was interesting. I gave him another one. I said, well, read it again. It's really interesting. And he said he would. While we were in the hospital for the May 31st pancreatitis attack, I passed out a stack of those books. Everybody in there, everybody would get them. I witnessed everybody that would come in. There was a nurse by the name of Hind. She was from Morocco. And little Miss Hind, I began to talk to her about the Lord. And she says, well, I grew up in the Muslim faith. She said, it didn't work for me. She said, I married a Christian man. And she said, to be honest with you, I'm just so confused. I don't know what's going on. She said, my mom just died 6 months ago. And I began to share with her the simplicity of the gospel. And Paul is right here, and I'm talking to her. And I give her this book, and I said, please, Miss Hinn, take this and just read it. God really wants to help you. And I looked over at Paul. I said, well, honey, I said, this is why you're here this time. And she smiled. She said, Mike, it's worth it. All that pain, it's just worth it. It's just worth it. Rolls around again, not this weekend, last weekend. Paul's back in the hospital, pancreatitis. Get her checked in, get all that stuff. And the lady calls me up front and doing all that insurance stuff and all that crazy book work. And she had me answering all these questions. I come to this one. I said, well, we don't have to worry about this one. She says, what's that? I said, I know she's not pregnant. Amen. And she says, well, stranger things have happened. I said, well, you're right, young lady. I said, Sarah got pregnant when she was 90. Her jaw dropped. She said, what? I said, oh, yeah, her husband was 100. She said, you're kidding me. I said, haven't you ever read in the Old Testament about Abraham and Sarah? She said, oh, no, I haven't got the Old Testament yet. So when she said that, I thought, well, maybe she was recently saved. I said, well, when did you get saved? She says, oh, I haven't been saved yet. Man, we had such a good talk. I was able to see her the next night. She said she's reading. She's partway through the book. And I said, is it helping? She's starting under. Keisha's the reason why Paula had this last hospital visit. Amen. I don't even remember where I said it, but I do know while I was at our church Wednesday night, I said, I just wish that entire hospital staff would get saved so Paula doesn't have to keep coming back here. Amen. But you see, no matter what happens to you, church, no matter what happens, no matter what situation, you're going to be placed somewhere that you wouldn't have been without your trial. And God's eternal purpose for you is to let your light so shine among those people that you're now with, whether it's a funeral, whether it's a hospital visit, who knows? You're to let your light shine. I believe that every single Christian in the world ought to have gospel tracts with them. I'm sorry, it's just too easy to tell somebody how to go to heaven with one of these. It's just too easy. They ought to be left everywhere. We ought to leave these God's calling cards everywhere. I leave them gas pumps. I leave them everywhere. I got an email from a lady. She told me to quit leaving my trash on the gas pumps. I said, well, ma'am, I said, I promise I'll pray for you. And she says, don't you dare pray for me. So I keep leaving my gospel tracts on her gas pumps, and I pick her trash up for her because she says, you're just creating a bunch of work for me. Well, I didn't argue with her or anything. I just told her I'd pray for her. So I'm waiting for her to send me another one. I said, well, ma'am, I'm picking up your trash so you don't have to worry about it anymore. Everything has an eternal purpose, church. We need to be leaving our gospel tracts. We need to be allowing that grace that flows out of us to flow into someone else. Brother Terry Sturgill, a young man that I work with the Seed Lines, he goes all over South America, or all over the southern part of America, pulling a truck, putting together John and Romans and eternity books. Over millions of them they've done. His wife's been suffering from cancer. I mean, good people. It's going to happen because God has an eternal purpose for everything that happens, an eternal purpose. Darrell Scott, one of the fathers of the victims at the Columbine school shooting, what a horrible school shooting that was. He used that suffering to declare to the United States Congress that it was not the gun's fault. He would stand there and point his finger at the Congress and say it was because you people voted out Bible reading and prayer in the public school system. God wasn't there. I witnessed to a man at a Walmart store and began to talk to him. And he said, I've got a question for you. Why did those little children die at the Sandy Hook Elementary School? I said, sir, that's a great question. And I said, but do you realize back in 1962, the United States of America voted God out of the public school system? I said, he would have loved to have been there to protect all of them, but your people voted him out. He said, well, I never heard it like that before. I said, sir, you need to give your life to Jesus and get saved. God's not the one that brought all this ugly hate and so on. Satan, and I'm mad at him. I hate him. I'm going to do everything I can to kick him in the... I've asked God for a front row seat when he throws him over the balcony into hell. Amen. If you want to sit along with me, I'll ask him for a second seat. You can sit beside me. Well, my wife's got the one right beside me. According to the book of Revelations, and when they had finished their testimony, that's when they were done. That's when those men died. When you finish your testimony, when you finish your eternal purpose, God will take you home. But I honestly believe if you're not executing your eternal purpose, he may take you home early too. Or he may take you out in some other way. Well, now I want you to see this now. When we read that she was truly dead, it said that she was sick and she died. Okay, in Acts 9:38, for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard Peter was there, they sent to him two men, desiring that he would not delay and come. Happens in many cases. When a trial comes, you know what happens? They call for the preacher. Amen? The only person they could think about was Peter. There had to be something different about Peter. I loved your explanation this morning about Peter, brother. There's a whole lot more Peters than there are Johns. Amen? But Peter's life drastically changed after that moment when Christ would look into the eyes of that servant and say, lovest thou me? Three times. The first time he said, feed my lambs. He said, now you remember them little children. Then he said, now Peter, if you love me, he says, I want you to feed my sheep. That middle-aged crowd, them young people that are out there just at the grind, going to work, working overtime so they can pay for their bass boats and their hunting trucks and all those things. Amen. And he said, but I want you to also remember them folks that are getting up in age. He says, I want you to remember them too. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my... Something changed in his heart. Because Peter understood exactly what his eternal purpose was from that point forward. Just to share the love of Christ. Well, no doubt that he had left a lasting impression on the hearts and minds of the people of Joppa. So, Peter rose and went with them, the Bible says. And he went into that upper chamber. And as the story goes, I don't think Peter was thinking all along the way, well, I'm just going to go raise this woman from the dead. I think he's just, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do when I get there, but I'm going to go try and do my best. Amen. I'm just going to be me and see what the Lord does. As they entered into the service, as we do in many memorial service, all of her beautiful works were displayed. She wasn't showing them. The people around her were showing them. Amen. There was other people. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. And everything was on display. And I'm sure the line was out the door. I remember my mama's precious funeral. I got to preach to my family. I got to preach about Jesus to my family. I think the Lord healed some things that day when I was able to, with my family members. I believe he really did. Nobody got saved, but I believe there's that close. Amen. Well, I don't believe he planned on doing what he did, but the Lord went up and in his prayer chapter 9, verse 40 and 41, Peter put them out. Maybe that's because Jesus put them all out except him and a couple others when he raised that religious leader's daughter, just following his Savior. But he knelt down and he prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. Can you imagine what this funeral was like? I mean, here they're expecting to just mourn and then go home and cry and then go on the next day. And here she's alive. Man, what a beautiful picture of what God will do for us. Amen? So why did all this happen to Dorcas? Well, you can find it in chapter 9 and verse 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. See, the death and the resurrection of Dorcas sparked a widespread revival. That revival that took place in Korea started when men would pray. The revival meetings would begin with not necessarily a whole lot of preaching, but a whole lot of people getting right with others. They'd go hug their necks and they'd say, look, I'm sorry I hurt you. And the other one would say, that's okay. And before long, people were getting right with each other, which opened up the floodgates of joy where people could show people Jesus that was inside of them. People would get right with each other and then they'd get right with God. You got to get right with each other before you're going to get right with God. Amen. And silly, crazy little things have caused people to sit on their pews or sit in their living rooms instead of church tonight. It's crazy. Get right with people. Call them. Tell them you're sorry. This world, this revival was sparked. But if you just give me a couple more minutes, it's 7:15 right now. I promise I'll finish when the Lord lets me. I got a couple thoughts. She was an outstanding Christian in the community. She wasn't a giver, or she wasn't a taker. She was a giver. I remember my wife on February 16th. It was the anniversary of her mom's death. And she said, I wish my mom was still alive. And you know what she said? She said, I would have loved to spoil her. And most folks wish their parents were alive so they can get something from them. But it was just amazing. When she said that, it just thrilled my heart. But I believe that she wanted everyone to know that Jesus was the Messiah, amen, and the only way for eternity. Whatever challenges she faced, she chose to use them for an eternal purpose. Okay, so, but now, the Bible says this, and I want you to think real close about what this girl went through. This is why I think she made it in the glory book. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, saying, and willing rather to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. This girl was dead. You know what that means? Brother, when I got a hold of that, you got Tabitha in the throne room. She's looking at God the Father. She sees God the Son sitting at the right. And maybe by then he'd gotten up and come down and hugged her neck and kissed her and welcomed her into heaven. She could hear the angels singing, holy, holy, holy. She was in the presence of a completely sinless arena. The place that she dreamed about and prayed about and knew was coming to going to come to pass. She'd made it. She'd arrived. She went through the valley of the shadow of death. She went right through that thing. There she is in heaven. And I believe the Lord Jesus came up to her and said, Tabitha, I'm so glad you're here. But I'd like to ask you something. Would you just do one more thing for me? Sure, Lord. Anything. Can I tell you tonight, church, when you stand in front of God, if He asks you to do anything, you'd say, sure, Lord. Amen. Why can't we do it down here?
Amen.
We're in His presence. This is His house. We have His Word. That's His book. We have testimonies of what He's done for us. So why can't we just say, yeah, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want. Tabitha had a history of doing that while she was alive. And now she's in the presence of the Father, more alive than she'd ever been. And the Lord says, I got one more thing for you to do. Will you put back on that robe of flesh? Now, you understand, you're going to have to go back through that valley of the shadow of death. That trip backwards was a little bit easier. She probably stuck her tongue out at the devil on the way through. And he said, now you're going to have to put on that body again, which means you're going to have maybe some arthritis, which means you might have to watch some of your family members get sick and die. You may have to watch somebody's house burnt down, or you might have to see some people lose their job. Your child may pass before you pass. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to go through. But would you go back down to heaven back down to the earth? Because if you go, I can see her falling at his feet and saying, Lord, I'll do anything for you. You see, that girl had to die three times. Her first funeral was she died to herself. And when she had that funeral and she got over the fact that it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about me, as long as God's pleased, she said, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. You can have my money. You can have my talents. You can have my time. Whatever you want, Lord, it's yours. And then God would put her to work. But then she got to come back and spark a revival. And it was known throughout all of Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, what Dorcas did, she's receiving more rewards for what she did tonight. They're just going to continue to go on and on and on and on and on. And on and on and on. And on and on and on. Because she said yes. She was a giver of her time, a giver of her talents, a giver of her treasure. She was a blessing. Well, most won't do what he asks while they're alive, let alone to die and do it again. But I don't think there was too many people in heaven that Jesus gave that privilege to. As a matter of fact, she's the only one I know. That one fellow, Paul, preached like I am tonight, just a little bit along, and he fell out of the balcony and died. But according to the scriptures, Paul went right down there and raised him, so he didn't have a whole lot of time. I don't know what took place. Something happened because he was dead, so he must have been in the presence of the Lord as well. I don't know what happened to him. But something happened to Dorcas, and I believe she was documented because of what she was before she saw him in face to face. I believe that's what happened. According to Ephesians 3:11, Jesus had an eternal purpose. We're called Christians because we have an eternal purpose. If you don't know your eternal purpose tonight, I challenge you to just ask the Lord what it is. Ask the Lord what it is. Maybe he's calling you to preach. I don't know. We do definitely need preachers. Maybe he's just calling you to be a prayer warrior. For years, I was a member at the Franklin Road Baptist Church, and on Sunday morning services, there'd be a prayer room right off to the left, and there'd be some of us that would rotate through, and we'd go in and pray while the preacher was preaching every service, praying while the preacher was preaching. We know that's what sparked the great movement with Spurgeon. He had the furnace room. Why are you bringing all that stuff up, brother? Because that's what made this book come alive to people. That's what caused great Christianity. That's what sparked revivals all around the world, was people who would pray and sacrifice and give and go. And if we're going to continue to see a revival around this world and see people, including our friends and family, saved, we're going to have to do the same things they did. And then Jesus will be satisfied. Amen. If you don't know your eternal purpose, just ask the Lord. He'll help you. I'm thankful in my heart, and I am not bragging on me, but it has made my life so peaceful knowing that no matter what happens, there's a purpose. There's someone that needs to hear the gospel that would not have heard it had not whatever it is happened in my life. And I can look for that person, and I do all the time. Okay, Lord, where is he? He's got to be here somewhere. He's given me the privilege to see the answer sometimes. And I think he'll do that when you start looking for it. Ah, it was Miss Hind. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was this girl there, Keisha. It was Miss Keisha. Yeah. That's the reason why it happened. Because everything we know happens for a purpose. If you're not saved tonight, salvation is simple. Jesus did the work. Amen. Brother David, Miss Debbie. Your precious son's going through these things for a purpose. Amen? And we don't know the purpose, brother. We don't know the purpose. But God has a purpose for it. He's got a purpose for it. And when we can praise Him for it and thank Him for it in the trials and tribulations, just like He told us, and then say, Lord, show me how I can use it for Your glory. Oh, man, it takes away the pain. It takes away the agony. It takes away the suffering. If you're not saved, you're going to miss out on all this stuff. So give your life to Jesus if you're not. But if you are, ask the Lord what He'd have you to do with your time and your talents and your treasures. And then, just do it. Father, I love You tonight. I thank You for Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for our time in the service. I thank You for the preacher. I thank You for the liberty tonight. And Father, as we're in this throne room talking, I believe Miss Dorcas is there tonight. Father, I believe that maybe You even let her hear this message. And Father, I think she's smiling, and I think maybe even there's high fives in heaven, and she's grateful that she was able to do that for You. Father, whatever You ask me to do, please give me the privilege to say yes and just to do it. Now, Father, whatever's going on in the hearts and minds of these people, no doubt there's something. I just ask that You would please, please convince them to do whatever You're saying. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.